The gold Warner Brothers shield is plunged into black and white and mutates into the silhouette of a bat shape with scythe-like wing edges. Warner Brothers presents a Tim Burton production, a Joel Schumacher film. The bat disappears and hard-edged captions change color as they surge forwards through a black background. Val Kilmer. Tommy Lee Jones. Jim Carrey. Nicole Kidman. Chris O'Donnell. The black bat shape reappears with a spotlight behind it. Lurid green letters appear spelling out Forever. Batman Forever. Batman, dressed from head to toe in black rubber, which accentuates his muscular form, dons a flowing black cape. He fastens a chunky belt with a bat on it. He picks up a collection of chromed tools, including grappling hooks and cuffs, and walks through some sliding doors and up steps into the cavernous high-tech bat cave. Based upon characters appearing in magazines published by DC Comics, Michael Goff, Pat Hingle, Drew Barrymore. Rising on a revolving platform is a voluptuous black low-slung car with fenders shaped like bat wings over the back wheels, the Batmobile. Batman, wearing a mask with pointy ears, stands next to his vehicle. Grey-haired butler Alfred walks up.
Can I persuade you to take a sandwich with you, sir?
I'll get drive-through.
Batman zooms off in the jet-powered Batmobile. Flames shoot out of a large circular exhaust as the thrusting machine speeds through an archway and along a tunnel. Debbie Mazar, René Auberginois, Joe Grifassi, casting Mally Finn, CSA. Batman drives out onto a woodland road. Music composed by Elliot Goldenthal. In Gotham City, a crowd has gathered at the base of a skyscraper. Several floors up, a gnarled-looking man wearing a suit flips a silver coin. He catches the coin, which has crowned heads on both sides, one of which is scratched.
You're counting on the winged Avenger to deliver you from evil, aren't you, my friend?
A security guard.
Are you gonna kill me?
Maybe, maybe not. You could say we're of two minds on the subject. You're a gambling man. What say we flip for it? One man is born a hero, his brother a coward. Babies starve, politicians grow fat, holy men are martyred. And junkies grow legion. Why? Luck! Blind, stupid, simple, doodah, clueless luck!
Half the man's face is deformed.
The random toss. The only true justice. Let's see what justice has in store.
For you!
He flips his two-headed coin.
Oh, it's like the touch of God. Wait.
He looks at the coin.
Fortune smiles. Another day of wine and roses. Or in your case, beer and pizza.
But you said you'd let me live.
Too true. And so you shall. Nothing better than live bait to trap a bat.
Thugs carry the guard to a safe. The man, one side suited, the other garish and brutally dressed, flips his coin. Squat Commissioner Gordon, wearing a dark coat and hat, is with an attractive woman with long blonde hair. Batman swings in on a rope.
Hot entrance.
Two-Face.
Two guards are dead. He's holding a third hostage. Didn't see this one coming.
We should have, though. The second bank of Gotham on the...
Second anniversary of the day I captured him.
How could Two-Face resist? I'm Chase Meridian.
I asked Dr. Meridian to come to Gotham to consult on this case. She specializes in...
Abnormal psychology, multiple personalities. I read your work. Insightful. Naive, but insightful.
I'm flattered. Not every girl makes a superhero's night table.
Can we reason with him? He's holding innocent people up there.
It won't do any good. He'll slaughter them without thinking twice.
Agreed. A trauma powerful enough to create an alternate personality leaves the victim...
In a world where normal rules of right and wrong no longer apply.
Exactly.
Like you. Well, let's just say I could write a hell of a paper on a grown man who dresses like a flying rodent.
He steps up to her.
Bats aren't rodents, Dr. Meridian.
Really? I didn't know that. You are interesting.
They stare into each other's eyes.
And call me Chase. By the way, do you have a first name, or do I just call you Babs?
He's gone. Two-Face grins demonically. The deformed half of his face is garish pink.
Let's start this party with a bang!
A wrecking ball crashes in through the window. The green light above an elevator door lights up.
Very punctual, even for his own funeral. Boys, kill the bat!
Five masked thugs run up and aim machine guns at the elevator doors. Produced by Tim Burton and Peter McGregor Scott.
Blast it!
The thugs, whose masks are half red and half black, pepper the doors with bullets. Shafts of light twinkle through the bullet holes.
Open sesame.
Directed by Joel Schumacher. The elevator doors open, Batman flies out and knocks the thugs over. Two-Face runs off. The thugs get up and Batman dispenses a couple with kicks and punches. Another grabs Batman from behind and he flings him round. Another grabs a gun. Batman shoots him with a gizmo that electrifies him. Batman throws a grappling hook and it ties a thug's ankles together. He flings the thug on his back over. With spinning kicks, Batman finishes them off. A thug appears with knives and charges at Batman, who's standing by the lift shaft. He steps to one side, grabs the thug, and flings him at the electrified guy, so they both have sparks zapping around them. Batman runs off. He sees the guard in the safe, jumps in, and rips the tape off his mouth.
Ow! It's a trap!
The safe door shuts, and the locking wheel is secured. Batman unbinds the guard's feet. A chain starts to pull the safe away from its moorings. The silver drum-shaped safe, which is lined with deposit boxes, is dragged out of the side of the skyscraper. Commissioner Gordon and Chase Meridian watch from the street. The safe dangles below a helicopter. Standing by a hatch in the bottom of the helicopter, Two-Face talks over a loudhailer.
Attention, citizens of Fair Gotham!
When we open that safe, we'll have everything we ever wanted. And have cash to rain down upon Fair Gotham. A glorious flood of chaos. And of course, you, my boy, dead!
Liquid starts to fill the safe.
Oh no! It's boiling acid!
For your dying pleasure, we are serving the very same acid that made us the men we are today!
Batman and the guard stand against the deposit box doors. Two-Face climbs up next to the pilot.
Yes, all away.
As the safe is winched up, Batman reaches for the guard's hand.
Give me your hand.
Don't let go!
The guard's glasses drop into the acid and dissolve. Batman takes the guard's hearing aid.
You're gonna have to borrow this.
Hey! Hey! That's my hearing aid!
Thanks.
Batman listens to the combination lock with it. Batman cracks the safe and lifts the door. He and the guard emerge. Two-Face looks on dismayed.
Oh, no more.
Batman shoots a grappling hook through the marble skyscraper wall. As Two-Face punches the side of the helicopter, Batman fixes the other end of his line to the chain the safe's hanging from. The guard looks terrified as Batman uses an oxyacetylene torch to cut through the chain. The safe plummets, the grappling hook wedges against its hole, and the safe effortlessly swings down through the hole it was pulled out of and back to where it came from. A squad of police run in, followed by Commissioner Gordon and Chase Meridian. Chase looks up to see Batman still hanging from the chain beneath the helicopter. Two-Face pulls a gun.
This'll fix him.
The helicopter flies wildly above the city. Batman swings around on the chain.
Hang on, Batty!
The helicopter careers through a sign in the shape of an eyeball, with "Tired Eyes Use OcuWash" written around it. Batman climbs up the chain. Two-Face looks down at the chain. Batman's gone.
Let's see. Yes! Oh, happy day! Farewell forever to that pointy-eared night rat!
Batman's cape covers the windscreen.
Face!
Batman's on top of the helicopter. Two-Face shoots at the windscreen, killing the pilot as he does so. Two-Face rushes to grab the controls. The helicopter veers wildly over the ocean. Batman appears and punches through a side window and headbutts his way into the helicopter.
You need help, Harvey. Give it up.
Two-Face kicks Batman and he flops out onto the landing runners. Two-Face grabs a steering lock and fixes it onto the steering mechanism. The helicopter heads directly for a monument of a crowned woman standing with a torch held aloft. Two-Face climbs into the back by the hatch as Batman leaps into the pilot's seat.
Have the good pace to die! See ya!
Two-Face drops down the hatch and opens a parachute with a distorted yin-yang symbol on it. The helicopter smashes into the monument and it explodes. Batman dives into the ocean. A fireball erupts around the monument, and the blackened helicopter drops into the ocean. Batman's sinister silhouette slowly rises to the surface of the water, arms outstretched, surrounded by tiny bubbles. Batman gasps for air.
Despite a valiant effort last night by Batman, Harvey Two-Face is still at large and extremely dangerous. And in other news today, billionaire Bruce Wayne has extended his trend-setting profit-sharing program to the employees of the highly successful electronics division of Wayne Enterprises.
Handsome, dark-haired Bruce Wayne, wearing glasses, walks through a large office with a group of suited men. As a tall, mustachioed guy greets him, a wild-haired guy watches enraptured.
Mr. Wayne!
Hello, Fred.
Your inspection to the departmental highlight.
Oh, my God, it's him.
I am a winner.
He prods a bouncy toy with a question mark on it and leaves his office.
Fire remediation, alternative fuels.
Ah, Mr. Wayne, look at that time. Perhaps we should get to R&D as soon as possible.
The guy runs up.
Mr. Oh, Bruce Wayne.
No, that's my name. And you are?
Nigma. Edward Nigma, you hired me personally, just like I tell everyone. We've never actually met, but your name was on the hiring slip. I have it.
I'm gonna need that handbag, Ed.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry. It's just that you're my idol.
Work, Edward.
And some people have been trying to keep us apart.
Back to work, Edward.
It's okay. So, Mr. Nigma, what's on your mind?
Precisely. What's on all our minds? Brain waves.
He pushes past Fred and holds up a finger.
The future of Wayne Enterprises is brain waves.
He scuttles off.
You would have to apologize, Mr. Wayne. I personally terminated his project this morning.
It's okay.
I have it!
Nigma returns with some elaborate headgear. Fred hangs his head despairingly.
My invention beams any TV signal directly into the human brain. By stimulating neurons, manipulating brain waves, if you will, this device makes the audience feel like they're inside the show. Why be brutalized by an uncaring world?
Did you say manipulating brain waves?
Yes. But someone like you would never need it. Someone so intelligent, witty, charming. I just need a bit of additional funding for human trials. Let me show you, please.
Now listen, Ed. I want a full set of technical schematics on this, okay?
I want you to know we'll be full partners in this, Bruce. Look at us. Two of a kind!
You call my assistant Margaret, she'll set something up.
That's not gonna be good for me. I need an answer now. I think I deserve it.
I'm sorry, Ed, then the answer's no. Tampering with people's brain waves, mind manipulation, it just raises too many questions. Sorry. Thanks, everybody. Keep up the good work. Factory looks great.
All right, everyone. Back to work. We'll discuss this later.
Fred lunges at a devastated Nigma and walks out with Bruce.
You were supposed to understand.
Doors slide shut behind them.
I'll make you understand.
Bruce Wayne walks into his office.
Locked.
Doors slide shut behind him. He sits at a desk in a leather office chair.
Chair.
He's tipped through a trap door and speeds along a tube in a capsule. Alfred appears on a screen.
Alfred.
I saw the signal, sir. All is ready.
Bruce shoots down the tube. Alfred's standing by the elevator doors in the Batcave. The doors open, revealing the capsule swathed in sparks and smoke. The capsule opens and Bruce steps out. He takes off his suit jacket and gives it to Alfred. Later, Bruce, transformed into Batman, drives the Batmobile through Gotham City's empty streets and up along raised walkways spanning austere skyscrapers. The Bat sign, a silhouette of a bat with an oval of light glowing around it, shines in the night sky. It's projected from a searchlight revolving on the roof of police headquarters. Batman appears on the rooftop.
Commissioner Gordon?
He's at home.
Chase Meridian.
I sent the signal.
What's wrong?
She slinks over in a low-cut top.
Last night at the bank, I noticed something about Two-Face. His coin. It's his Achilles heel. It can be exploited.
I know. You called me here for this. The bat signal is not a beeper.
Well, I wish I could say that my interest in you was purely professional.
You're trying to get under my cape, Doctor?
A girl can't live by psychoses alone.
It's the car, right? Chicks love the car.
What is it about the wrong kind of man? In grade school, it was guys with earrings. College, motorcycles, leather jackets. Now?
She touches his breastplate.
Oh. Black rubber.
Try fireman, lest it take off.
He starts to walk away.
I don't mind the work. Pity I can't see behind the mask.
We all wear masks.
My life's an open book. You read?
I don't blend in at a family picnic.
Oh, we could give it a try. I'll bring the wine. You bring your scarred psyche.
She pulls off her cloak, revealing her cleavage.
Direct, aren't you?
You like strong women. I've done my homework. Or do I need skin-tight vinyl and a whip?
I haven't had that much luck with women.
Maybe you just haven't met the right woman.
She moves her slightly parted lips towards his. Commissioner Gordon turns up with a coat over his pajamas.
I saw the signal. What's going on?
Nothing. False alarm.
Are you sure?
She smiles invitingly. Batman turns and runs to the wall at the edge of the rooftop and jumps off. Chase goes and watches as Batman drops down several floors, his black cape billowing out around him, and lands in the driving seat of the Batmobile. The cockpit canopy slides shut over his head. He licks his lips.
Women.
He fires up the engines. In his lab at Wayne Enterprises, on his brainwave manipulator.
Okay. Now I've got it!
Pictures of Bruce Wayne are pinned to the wall.
Too many questions. There's too many questions. There's just too many. I'll show you it works.
What the hell is going on here?
I told you this project is terminated. I'm calling security.
Fred marches off. Nigma grabs a coffee pot and whacks him around the head with it.
Caffeine will kill ya!
Later, Fred sits with Nigma's contraption on his head.
Rise and shine, little guinea pig.
What are you doing, Nigma?
Untie me.
This won't hurt a bit. At least I don't think it will.
Nigma's also wearing headgear.
Nigma, what are you doing?
Nigma, you touched that switch and... Which one, this?
Nigma flicks a switch. There's a TV in front of Fred with film of fish swimming on it. the fish become three-dimensional and swim in the air in front of Fred, who looks woozy. Nigma's ecstatic. He turns to a gauge.
Losing resolution. Ooh, more power!
He flicks a switch and suddenly green sparks fly out of Fred's head, hit a machine on the TV, and bounce into Nigma's head. As Nigma gibbers, Fred's eyes widen. A fisherman pops out of the TV and casts his line towards Fred.
I'll take what's inside. Thick skull number one.
What have we got for him, Johnny?
Stickly. A breakthrough. Kind of breakdown. Maybe. Nevertheless, I'm smarter. I'm a genius. No, several geniuses. A gaggle, a swarm, a flock of freaking Freuds. Riddle me this, Fred. What is everything to someone and nothing to everyone else? You're mine, baby! And now mine pumps with the power of yours! I'm sucking up your IQ. Vacuuming the cortex. Feeding off your brain.
Nigma dances and throws out his arms.
Fred!
Fred's grinning gormlessly while the fisherman nets a fish that's dangling in front of his face. Nigma throws a switch, and the machine turns off.
What the hell just happened?
Fred regains consciousness.
A very surprising side effect. Well, you were mesmerized by my 3D TV. I utilized your neural energy to grow smarter.
Bruce Wayne was right.
You demented, bizarre, unethical toad. It is brain manipulation. I'm reporting you to the FCC, the Human Experimentation Board, the AMI, and the police. You are going up on charges. To court, to jail, and then to a mental institution for the rest of your twisted little life. But first and foremost, Nigma, you are fired. Do you hear me? Fired!
Having wheeled Fred out with the contraption still on his head, Nigma leans down to him.
I don't think so.
He pushes Fred in his chair, and he careers through the office floor towards a large round window. He smashes through, but is held by a cable attached to his headgear. Below is a raging waterfall. Nigma runs over. He grabs the headgear.
Fred! Babe! You are fired! Or should I say, terminated!
He pulls off the headgear and Fred drops down the side of the building.
Surf's up, Big Kahuna! Nice form, but a little rough on the landing. He may have to settle for the bronze. Questions, Mr. Wayne. My work raises too many questions. Why hasn't anybody...
On a surveillance screen.
Put you in your place.
Bruce Wayne's watching TV at home.
Harvey Dent, once Gotham's district attorney, was horribly scarred by underworld kingpin Boss Maroni. Although Batman tried to save him, Dent's left brain damage transformed him into a violent criminal who blames Batman.
Wayne, madam.
Who has vowed to destroy the Dark Knight. Harvey Two-Face is extremely dangerous.
That was Commissioner Gordon, sir. There's been an accident at Wayne Enterprises.
At Wayne Enterprises.
Horrible way to die.
Yes.
The video surveillance cameras are down here.
Good. We'll dredge the river, but with that current, I doubt we'll ever find the body.
Bruce goes off with Commissioner Gordon. Nigma's with a colleague.
Why? Oh, why? Just can't believe it. 2 years working in the same office. He was like my father, my brother. Cousin that visits all the time.
Get a grip, Edward.
He holds up a letter.
I found this in my cubicle. You'll find the handwriting matches his exactly, as does sentence structure and spelling. I couldn't possibly continue on here. The
memories.
A security office.
This is last night's security log. There's Stickley.
Film shows him jumping out of the round window. The colleague comes over with the letter.
Pretty cut and dry.
Bruce reads it, to whom it may concern, from Fred Stickley. Goodbye, cruel world.
Yep, definitely suicide. Thanks very much for your help, Bruce. We'll be in touch.
The commissioner goes. Bruce walks off with the secretary.
Stickley suicide. It doesn't make sense. Thanks. I want full benefits for his family.
Suicide's not covered by a corporate insurance policy.
I know. Full benefits.
Gossip Gertie has called a record 32 times. Who are you taking to the charity circus?
I'll let you know. What's this?
An envelope.
I don't know. I didn't see anyone.
Bruce takes a card from the envelope, which has a question mark on it. He opens the card and a picture of him pops up. Bruce pulls a tag and the tongue unfurls with a message on it.
If you look at the numbers on my face, you won't find 13 anyplace.
That's hideous. What does it mean?
It's a riddle. Numbers on my face, 13. 1 through 12. The answer is a clock.
Who would send you a riddle?
That, Maggie.
A train runs past a ramshackle Victorian-style building. Edward Nigma opens a door marked E. Nigma. He goes into a narrow room and switches on the light. The room's crammed with junk and cuttings on the walls. You're sort of stuck where you are. In a glass case at the end of the room is the head and torso of a clownish dummy wearing a bright green top and hat covered in question marks. The right hand, with pointed finger, moves robotically between a red light bulb with no on it and a green light bulb with a question mark on it. Nigma goes over to it.
You hate your boss at your job. Guess what I did today?
The finger moves to the green bulb, which flashes. At a table, Nigma cuts letters from newspapers and pastes them onto a card with an X-ray of a skull on it. The message starts, "What once was red is..." Later that night, Nigma rides a moped up to an austere set of gates. He stares up a driveway between two sculptures of rearing horses at an enormous manor house.
Wayne Manor.
He scoffs and sticks a green envelope with a question mark on it to the gate's bars. He gives a cute wave.
See you soon.
He rides off in his moped, which has several lights and an aerial waggling around at the back. Next morning, Bruce Wayne drives an open-top two-seater Jaguar sports car to the front of a grand Gothic-style skyscraper. Bruce parks and gets out of the car. Dressed in black, he goes into an enormous lobby lined with marble. He goes up to a reception desk, which has sculptures of eagles on either end of it. A guard sits behind the desk.
Dr. Meridian, please. Thank you.
The guard points and Bruce goes up some steps. As he walks along a corridor, he puts his sunglasses in his pocket. He then stops and listens. Anxious, he goes to a pair of doors and tries the handles. They're locked. He backs up and charges at the doors. He knocks down a door and bursts into a large office where Chase is laying into a punch bag.
I guess I'm early. I have an appointment. I'm Bruce Wayne.
Good. Then you can afford to buy me a new door.
I'm sorry.
He picks up the door.
You, sounded like you were in trouble.
I prefer healthy expressions of violence as opposed to breaking and entering. So... how can I help you, Mr. Wayne?
They stare at each other for a moment.
Oh, yeah. Someone's been sending me love letters. One in my office and one last night at my home. Commissioner Gordon thought you might give me your expert opinion.
She looks at the first of the letters with the long tongue and bulging eyes.
Clock.
She opens the second letter, also with Bruce's face on it.
Tear one off and scratch my head. Once was red is black instead.
The letter's over the skull.
A match.
She throws down the cards and looks at Bruce.
My opinion, this letter writer is a total wacko.
Wacko? That a technical term?
Patient may suffer from obsessional syndrome with potential homicidal tendencies. Does that work better for you?
So, what you're saying is this guy's a total wacko.
Exactly. He's obsessed with you. His only escape may be to purge the fixation.
To kill me.
I think you understand obsession better than you let on.
There's an ink blot in the shape of a bat framed on the wall.
You have a thing for bats?
Well, that's a Rorschach, Mr. Wayne. An ink blot. People see what they want. I think the question would be, do you have a thing for bats?
Bruce picks up a carved doll with a headdress.
Still playing with dolls, Doctor?
She's a Malaysian dream warden. Some cultures believe she protects you from bad dreams. It's silly to you, I'm sure.
He stares at its simple black and white form.
You look so sad. Do you need one?
Me? No. Why would I?
He puts it down.
You're not exactly what you seem, are you, Bruce Wayne? What is it you really came here for?
Yikes. Time's up.
She smiles.
That's usually my line.
Listen, I'd love to stay here chatting, but...
Would you? I'm not so sure.
I've really got to get you out of those clothes.
Excuse me?
And into a black dress. Tell me, Doctor, do you like the circus?
That night, inside the packed Bayside Hippodrome, muscle men beat drums on a pedestal supported by a sculpture of a man. Performers mingle in the circus ring. Bruce arrives with Chase, who's wearing a slinky black dress. Reporters hound them.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, welcome to the greatest show on earth.
Bruce, who is this beautiful young woman you're with?
Dr. Chase Meridian.
A doctor? What kind of doctor?
For Gotham Children's Hospital, let's thank our largest single donor, Bruce Wayne.
Enigma spits at his TV.
70 feet above the ground, performing feats of unimaginable aerial skill, the Flying Graysons.
Three men and a woman wearing red and green costumes are standing on a platform high above the circus ring. Two men swing across on a trapeze. The third man chalks his hand and swings down. He is caught by one of the others who's hanging upside down from the trapeze. He's launched up onto a bar. The woman swings across, and the Graysons change places effortlessly, flying through the air. Bruce watches Chase, who's captivated. One of the men twists from one trapeze to another. Bruce turns to Chase.
Listen, I'm going rock climbing this weekend. Would you like to join me?
I'd like to. I love climbing. I mean, I really love it.
But?
I've met someone.
That's fast work. You just moved here.
Well, you could say he just kind of dropped out of the sky and bang. I think you felt it too.
Sure did.
What?
Well, who wouldn't?
And now, Richard, the youngest Flying Grayson, will perform the awe-inspiring death drop without the safety of a net.
The net is removed. The ringmaster goes to the sidelines. Several thugs appear out of the darkness and drag him away. High above, Richard Grayson grabs hold of the trapeze bar.
Okay, let's go.
Richard Grayson swings down and back once, then down again, and lets go. He turns his body as he somersaults through the air. One of the other Graysons swings down. As Richard descends, he reaches out and grabs hold of the man's wrist. Chase stares up, open-mouthed. The Graysons return to their perch. Two-Face, dressed as the ringmaster in a top hat, walks into the ring holding a gun.
Ladies and gentlemen! At this time, the new management of the Circus Internacional invites you to forget this good, clean, wholesome, all-American fun and join us in a celebration of absolute chaos and true fiesta!
His thugs replace the muscle men. Gates slide shut. Nigma watches his TV, grinning.
Personal amazement, we call it Massacre Under the Big Top. If we may direct your attention to the middle of the center ring. Inside this harmless-looking orb are 200 sticks of TNT, and in our innocent hand, a radio detonator.
What the hell do you want, Harvey?
One, Mr. Mayor. One simple thing. Batman, bruised, broken, bleeding, in a word, dead!
Nigma's hysterical.
Who do we have before us? Gotham's finest. Well-to-do. Influential. Surely one of you knows who Batman is. Hell, odds are one of you pasty-faced twits is Batman. You have 2 minutes.
The remote control detonator starts to count down. Bruce stands up. No one hears Bruce. The orb is raised on a cable. Bruce runs off. Nigma watches his TV enraptured. Bruce runs up behind one of Two-Face's thugs and knocks him out. The Graysons are still up on their platform.
We could stop him, Mitch, if we go out on the digging.
Be careful, boys.
Don't worry, Mom.
Bruce pummels another of Two-Face's thugs. The Graysons slide along the rigging and kick a thug down, then climb up along cables. The orb, full of explosives, is nearly at the top of the arena. Two-Face waves his detonator.
Good work, boys!
The Graysons climb up higher. Two-Face stares, horrified, as Bruce jumps onto a rope and swings down towards the ring. He kicks two machine gun-toting thugs to the ground. Two-Face flips his coin.
Our kind of day.
Bruce battles with a ring full of thugs. The Graysons clamber towards the orb. A digital clock on it reads 44 seconds. Two-Face machine guns cables supporting the Graysons. Chase stares up, horrified. The poles that the Graysons are climbing along give way. Richard Grayson climbs up higher after the orb. Bruce throws another thug to the ground, then looks up to see three of the Graysons plummeting from the ceiling. Two-Face disappears under a trapdoor. Richard grabs hold of the orb. Bruce and Chase stare at the Graysons hitting the ground. Richard opens a hatch on the curved roof of the Hippodrome and pushes the orb through it as the clock reads 5 seconds. He rolls it down the side and into the bay. The orb explodes underwater in a golden ball of fire. The three Graysons lie dead in the red and black center of the circus ring. Bruce and Commissioner Gordon stand in the outer yellow ring. They look up. Handsome young Richard gazes down from the hole in the roof, distraught, his eyes fill with tears. Richard drops his head, as does Bruce. A crowd gathers around. A few days later, Commissioner Gordon drives up to Wayne Manor in a black sedan. He's followed by Richard Grayson on a motorbike. Bruce walks out of the front door to meet them. Wearing pale slacks, a black shirt and a brown jacket, Bruce walks up and shakes Commissioner Gordon's hand.
Bruce? Good of you to take him in. He hasn't anyone now. We've had him filling out papers all day. He hasn't slept. He hasn't even eaten.
They glance at Richard, who's wearing shades, a leather jacket, and a skateboard helmet. Bruce takes Richard into the grand entrance hall. Alfred walks up.
Welcome, Master Grayson.
I'm Alfred.
How you doing, Al?
With his helmet off, he glances round.
There's a room prepared for you upstairs, but perhaps you'd like to get something to eat first.
He looks at the commissioner's departing car.
Okay. I'm out of here.
Excuse me?
Look, I figured telling that cop I'd stay here for a while saved me a truckload of social service interviews and charity, so, no offense, but no thanks. See ya. Take it easy, Al.
Bruce frowns. Alfred stares ahead, nonplussed. Bruce gives him a nod and goes out to Richard, who's getting on his motorbike.
Where will you go? The circus must be halfway to Metropolis by now.
Get a fix on Two-Face, then I'm gonna kill him.
Killing Two-Face won't take the pain away. It'll make it worse.
Experiment the sermons, right, Bruce? I don't need your advice, and I don't need your charity.
It's a nice bike.
Hang out at a lot of biker bars, Bruce.
So you're almost on empty. Why don't you fill it up in the garage? There's not a gas station around here for miles.
They go into the garage, which is full of old sports cars.
Pump's over here.
Is this a garage or a car museum, Bruce?
He props his bike.
Oh, wow.
He spots a line of vintage motorcycles.
It's a 1917 Harley.
Yep.
Indian classic, fully restored. This is a Vincent Black Knight. He only made like 100 of these.
101, actually. She's my favorite.
You've got two of them.
Yeah, that one doesn't run, though. Throttle sticks on this one. Alfred's actually a very good mechanic, but some of these need a lot of work. If someone were to fix them up, they could keep one as a fee. Anyway, have a nice trip.
He holds his hand up.
I'm sure you'll land on your feet.
They shake hands. Alfred walks in with a tray of food.
Is the young master leaving? Pity. I'll just toss this away then. Perhaps the dogs are hungry.
Richard glances at the bike, then follows.
Hey, Al, wait up.
Bruce walks into a dimly lit study with ornate rugs on the floor. Sunlight floods through tall, high windows onto sumptuous furniture. Bruce goes to a small round table with a vase, a lamp, and four photographs in silver frames on it. Two depict smartly dressed couples, and two depict a smiling couple with a boy. Bruce stares forlornly at the pictures. Bruce has a flashback to when he was a boy, walking on a misty night with his parents. His father and mother are gunned down. Roses and pearls drop to the ground. The gunman stands shrouded in fog. As a boy, Bruce kneels by his dead parents. Bruce closes his eyes, lost in his memories of a storm raging outside the house and a priest standing in front of a fireplace reading. Mourners are gathered in candle-lit gloom. Bruce, as a boy, walks between the coffins of his parents. Wearing a suit, young Bruce goes to a table where an open book's pages flutter in a breeze. Handwriting covers most of the pages, then there is a blank page. Bruce turns it round to look at it, then closes it. Back in the present, Bruce's eyes are shut tight. His brow is pinched.
Master Bruce?
Alfred switches the light on.
Master Bruce?
He opens his eyes.
Just like my parents. It's happening again. A monster comes out of the night, a scream, two shots. I killed them.
What did you say?
He killed them. Two-Face. He slaughtered that boy's parents.
No. No, you said I. I killed him.
Bruce looks away. He looks out of the window and sees the bat sign in the night sky.
Certainly, sir.
Alfred goes to see Richard, who's in a bedroom looking out the window.
Can I help you, settle in, Master Grayson?
No. Thanks, I won't be staying long. Oh.
Is this a robin?
Painted on his helmet.
My brother's wire broke once. I swung out and grabbed him. My father said I was his hero. I flew in like a robin. Some hero I turned out to be.
Ah, but your father was right. You are a hero, I can tell.
Richard picks up his red, green, and yellow trapeze costume.
Throw this away, will you, Alfred? I won't be needing it anymore.
I think I'll just put it in here.
He puts it into a chest.
Broken wings mend in time. One day, Robin will fly again. I promise.
Alfred leaves Richard looking down thoughtfully. Batman drives through the industrial part of town in the Batmobile. He looks at his controls. He flicks a switch, a cover slides away, and a circular screen rises up. On screen is film of two vehicles following him. A sedan and a truck. Inside are Two-Face's thugs. Batman speeds under a bridge. At the end of the bridge, a figure wearing a black cloak and a hood slowly pushes a pram across the road in front of the Batmobile. The figure pulls off its cloak, revealing it to be Two-Face. Two-Face pulls out a rocket launcher. Batman turns the Batmobile's wheels so they drive sideways across the road. Two-Face fires and blows up the sedan and the truck. Two-Face buries his head despondently. More sedans approach with flaming exhausts. Batman drives on. Two-Face throws away his rocket launcher. The sedans fire machine guns mounted on their wings at the Batmobile. A truck pulls up, and Two-Face gets in.
Wheel drive, thank you.
He drives after the three sedans that continue firing at the Batmobile. Batman powers his vehicle round corner after corner, pursued by the sedans and Two-Face in the truck. Batman drives down a back street towards a dead end. He flicks some switches. Sparks fly all around as the sedans bash against the buildings. Batman closes in on the wall at the end of the street. He flicks a switch. The Batmobile's front end rises up off the ground. Batman fires a grappling hook and cable around a gargoyle at the top of the building in front of him, and he drives up the wall. The sedans crash into the wall. Two-Face stares in horror. Two-Face stops just short of the flaming sedans. He gets out and stares up at the Batmobile speeding up the side of the building. People in adjacent apartments stare in disbelief. Edward Nigma's working at a computer. He puts his head onto a picture of Michelangelo's sculpture of David, then a dress and a hat with crossword patterns on them.
The puzzler.
The dummy says no. Nigma pastes on a chess pawn.
The gamester.
The red no light bulb flashes again. He covers himself in combat gear.
Captain Kill.
No again. He pastes on a sandwich board with a question mark on it.
Question mark, man.
As he stabs the keys, the dummy's finger moves to the green light bulb with the question mark on it. It flashes. The dummy's eyes move in its monstrous head, and it cackles. Seeing the green light, Enigma grins.
Thank you so much.
Two-Face is in his lair beneath a suspension bridge. Half the room is furnished in white, the other shades of red and black. Either side are two women, Sugar, all in white, and Spice, in a dark, sexy basque.
The Bat's stubborn refusal to expire is driving us insane!
Sugar gives him a cigarette and lights it.
Don't worry, baby. You'll kill him soon.
Spice lights another black cigarette with a blowtorch.
Besides, I made your favorite tonight. Sparkling champagne and yummy poached salmon with little itty-bitty quail eggs and a creamy, dreamy lemon souffle. No, I made your favorite. A charred heart of black boar, a side of raw donkey meat, and a sterno and grain alcohol. Straight up, baby!
Perfect! Ladies, you spoil us. We're of two minds about what to eat first.
I hope you made extra.
Who the hell are you?
The figure twirls a gold crook.
Just a friend. But you can call me
the Riddler.
It's Nigma in a green suit with question marks on it.
Oh, you dare is more like it. How did you find us here?
But then if I talked, what would keep you from slaying me, oh segregated one? By the way, that's never gonna heal if you don't stop picking.
Two-Face draws a gun.
Let's see if you bleed green.
Harvey? I don't think it's me you want to kill. That's just too easy for someone as powerful as you and you. But Batman. There's a challenge. Kill the Bat! Sounds like a good idea. But have you thought it through? Yeah. A few bullets, a quick splash of blood, and then what? Wet hands. Post-homicidal depression. Why not humiliate him first? Expose his frailties. And then when he is at his weakest, crush him! I see that sparkle in your left eye. I can help you get Batman.
Riddler smiles through his green eye mask.
That is, if you'll spare my life for just a few moments.
Two-Face thinks. Two-Face lowers his gun and lets go of the green bowler-hatted Riddler, who sticks out his chin and straightens his clothing prissily.
Thank you. I simply love what you've done with this place. Heavy metal meets house and garden.
He tosses his crook and removes his bowler.
Beautiful. It's so dark and gothic and disgustingly decadent.
He positions two brainwave manipulators.
It's so bright and chipper and...
He moves jerkily.
Conservative.
Sugar springs to attention. Riddler jumps around.
It's so you, and yet so you!
He stands by Two-Face.
Very few people are both a summer and a winter, but...
He play punches Two-Face.
You pull it off nicely.
Two-Face directs a shot in the air.
What's the point, big boy?
Has anybody ever told you you have a serious impulse control problem?
The gun is at Riddler's head.
This is the point.
He produces a torch-like stainless steel transmitter with a green light on the end. He switches it on, and green beams revolve around a brainwave manipulator transmitting a TV cartoon picture into Sugar and Spice's heads.
This is how I found you. Let me demonstrate.
He sticks the tube on Two-Face's forehead, connecting him, via laser, to the two brainwave manipulators.
This is your brain on the box. This is my brain on the box. Does anybody else feel like a fried egg?
I'll have a bit more, thank you.
Oh, there's more. But only the first one's free. Here's the bargain. You will help me steal production capital so I can put a box on every TV in town and become Gotham's cleverest carbon-based life form. And in return...
He peers over Two-Face's shoulder.
Is everybody paying attention? I will help you solve the greatest riddle of all, the mother of all riddles. Who is Batman?
You have broken into our hideout. You have violated the sanctity of our lair. For this, we should crush your bones into powder. However, you pose a most interesting proposition. Therefore, heads, we accept, and tails, we blow your damn head off.
Two-Face tosses his silver coin in the air, and it slowly spins back down. People panic in a jewelry store. Two-Face smashes a display cabinet and hauls out diamonds. Riddler smashes a cabinet and pulls out a jewel. He examines it.
Here's a good one.
No. There is a good one.
Richard's doing his washing.
Leave that, Master Dick. I'll attend to it.
I'm not used to being waited on, Al.
Alfred, who's doing the ironing, stares when Dick starts rapidly spinning a pair of socks around, then niftily throws them over his shoulder so that they land on a line. He spins a pair of tracksuit bottoms, lashing them round his ankle so he can run his hand down and squeeze out the water. Finally, he spins a pair of boxers on a mop end and chucks them on the line. He mops up and winks at an amazed Alfred. Robbing the Excelsior Grand Casino, Riddler and Two-Face stand in front of a security guard.
Hey, Two-Face, show me how to punch a guy!
It's dirt simple, my boy. Ball up the fist, reach way back, and assert yourself.
Two-Face decks the guard.
That looks like fun!
Riddler has to go on another guard.
Reach way back!
Riddler counts money as Two-Face drives.
120
Bruce is watching TV.
And in Gotham last night, another robbery perpetrated by the city's green-suited menace, resulting in millions in diamonds stolen with no sign of Batman.
Teamed with Two-Face, this new criminal's pattern of marking his crimes with puzzles, as Gothamites calling him the Riddler.
Apparently, you and Batman have a common enemy. That was with the Morning Mail.
A pop-up book with a riddle.
The eight of us go forth, not back, to protect our king from the foe's attack.
Chess pawns, clock, matches, all physical objects man-made.
Small in size, light in weight.
What's the connection?
With all due respect, sir, I think that's why they call him the Riddler.
Dick is trying to open a door.
May I help you, Master Grayson?
How come this is the only locked door around this museum? What do you got back there?
Master Wayne's dead wives. The silver closet, on your way.
A sign, Nigmatech. Nigma addresses a crowd.
Now you can be part of the action! Nigmatech brings the joy of 3D entertainment into your living room! Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you my vision!
He shows his invention.
The box in every home in America, and one day the world.
In local news, Edward Nigma's 3D box has become the rage of Gotham. Rioting occurred last night at electronic stores which were sold out. There's hardly a home without the Nigmatech box. Critics have claimed the box turns Gothamites into zombies, but Edward Nigma just shrugs. That's what they said when TV was invented.
A family watches a brainwave manipulator, the Nigmatech box. Green lasers shoot from their heads into the box, draining information and thoughts. The Riddler wrestles with Two-Face to get hold of the torch-like device, which transmits and picks up brain information. Trails of luminous green thoughts drift out of Gotham City windows to join a flowing river of thoughts, which are channeled into a giant Nigmatech box. It looks like a huge light bulb with a luminous white coil around the bottom. Green lightning sizzles out of the box as the thoughts are processed and pour down into Riddler's head. Spiky-haired Riddler sits in a vast armchair, gibbering as he receives the information. At Wayne Manor.
Master Dick!
Dick peers down over a balustrade.
Up here, Al.
Just checking, young sir.
Dick watches Alfred leave the gloomy hallway.
Now!
Dick jumps down onto a wrought iron chandelier as the door Alfred went through swings closed. Dick leaps onto a metal pole, spins off it, and grabs onto a long rope tassel by a tapestry, and drops down onto a staircase. Dick swings round a lamp pole at the bottom of the stairs and flies through the open door. Silver cascades after him as he tumbles down a dark, narrow stone staircase into the Batcave. A light flashes on and off over his body, which is sprawled face down. Dick winces and looks up as machinery and monitors light up, and the Batmobile rises up out of the ground on a revolving metal plate. Dick spots Alfred standing in dim light by the Batmobile. Alfred turns slowly and peers over the top of his specs, giving Dick a reprimanding look. Dick smiles and waves.
Oh, I have something for you. It's on the table. I hope you like it.
A Malaysian Dream Warden doll. Bruce picks it out of his box and studies it. Chase enters the dimly lit cavernous room. She's wearing a little black number.
Call it clinical intuition. I thought your dreams might need changing.
Bruce lowers his eyes wistfully.
My parents were murdered in front of me when I was just a kid.
He walks to an open French window.
I don't remember a lot of what happened, but...
Chase follows him.
What I do comes to me in my dreams, flashes. There's a new element now, though, I haven't seen before. It's a red leather book. Something else. My dreams are coming to me when I'm awake now.
He turns away.
Bruce, you're describing repressed memories. Images of a forgotten pain that's trying to surface.
They face each other.
Oh, damn, wait, I'll be right back.
Chase hurries out. Bruce, pacing around, spies a desk with magazines and newspaper cuttings spread over it. He looks through them. They all have pictures of Batman on them. He flicks through typewritten notes with Batman's picture stuck onto them and stops when Chase returns.
Is it possible there's an aspect of your parents' death that you haven't faced? And you were so young when it happened.
She hands him a mug.
Maybe I'll leave you two alone.
Referring to the Batman photos.
This goes way beyond taking your work home, doesn't it, Doctor?
He fixes her with a faint smile.
All right. I think he's fascinating. Clinically. Why does a man do this? It's as if he's cursed to pay some great penance. Now, what crime could he have committed to deserve a life of nightly torture?
He moves closer.
It's more than just professional interest, isn't it, Chase?
Bruce, are you jealous?
No, I can't be jealous of Batman.
I want to be close, but you won't let me near.
They look into each other's eyes.
What are you protecting me from?
You want to know me? You want to know who I am?
Their faces are close.
I guess we're all two people. One daylight and the one we keep in shadow.
Rage, violence, passion.
They kiss but separate on hearing Bruce's pager.
Excuse me.
He talks into his watch.
Kind of busy.
I'm sorry to bother you, sir. I have some rather distressing news about Master Dick.
What, is he all right?
I'm afraid Master Dick has gone traveling.
He ran away?
Actually, he took the car.
He boosted the Jag?
Not the Jaguar. The other car.
The Bentley?
No, sir. The other car.
Alfred peers out of the face of Bruce's watch monitor. Dick laughs as the Batmobile bounces down a dark city street. Its bat wings are extended, and flames leap out of the rear jet thruster. A group of thugs with sticks and clubs and gruesomely painted faces harass and maul a young woman with long brown hair. The Batmobile pulls up in front of a group of tarts hanging around on a sidewalk.
Going for a little ride on my love machine, baby.
The tarts in feathery coats surround the Batmobile. A thug harassing the girl spots the car. The cockpit canopy slides forwards, and Dick appears.
Wait a minute. That's not Batman.
What are you talking about?
That's Batboy.
It ain't the Bat.
The girl escapes from the thug's grasp and runs. They chase her. Dick pulls back the throttle, and the Batmobile streaks up the street after them, pink flames shooting from the rear jet thruster. The thugs stream through a narrow archway. The Batmobile pulls up and Dick gets out. He runs after them down a dark alley painted in psychedelic colors.
Hey! Hey, let her go!
A guy with his face painted white and made up like a skull rounds on Dick.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Batman. Hey, so I forgot my suit, all right?
Skullhead claps his hands and his thugs twirl their luminous sticks and attack Dick with them. Dick kicks one thug, then disarms another. Using the stick to fight with, he swipes his enemies away as he ducks and dives amongst them. Somersaulting away from trouble, he's grabbed by two guys, but drops them and another guy with swift kicks and punches. There's only Skullhead left. Skullhead growls as it's one-to-one between him and Dick. The multicolored fringes on Skullhead's suit flare out as he karate kicks Dick, who decks him with a couple of whacks. To the girl.
Come on, run!
Wait! Doesn't Batman ever kiss the girl?
Dick kisses her.
Go.
Thanks! You saved my life!
I could definitely get into the superhero gig.
Skullhead whistles. Dick's eyes bulge and dozens of thugs with mask-like faces and luminous sticks appear. They jump down from tenement buildings and surge on Dick from all directions. Dick runs towards a fire escape, kicking a guy out of the way as he goes. Dick starts to climb the metal ladder, but is beaten back by thugs at a higher level. Skullhead suddenly looks up. Batman, his cape flapping, drifts down out of the night sky. The thugs scatter as he lands in the alley. Dick jumps down off an upper level and tries to take a swing at Batman, who absorbs the blows with his forearms.
Bastard! It should have been you! It's your fault! If you'd have told Two-Face you weren't the circus, Dick's still be alive!
Batman restrains Dick and holds his wrists.
If Bruce Wayne could have given his life for your family, he would have.
Dick sags wearily. Back in the Batcave, Batman enters his wardrobe while Dick paces around talking.
All I can think about every second of the day is getting Two-Face. He took my whole life. When I was out there tonight, I imagined it was him that I was fighting. Even when I was fighting you. And all the pain went away. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Good. Because you gotta help me find him. And when we do, I'm the one who kills him.
Bruce appears in a t-shirt.
So you're willing to take a life?
As long as it's Two-Face.
Standing face to face, they eye each other.
Then it will happen this way. You make the kill. But your pain doesn't die with Harvey, it grows. So you run out into the night to find another face. And another. And another. Until one terrible morning you wake up and realize that revenge has become your whole life. And you won't know why.
You can't understand. Your family wasn't killed by a maniac.
Yes, they were. We're the same.
If we're the same, Bruce, help me. All right, train me. Let me be your partner.
They still look deep into each other's eyes.
No. I can't. You still have a choice.
Look, Bruce. I'm a part of this, whether you like it or not.
Dick turns away and runs up the narrow stone staircase. Bruce turns to see a somber Alfred standing in the elevator doorway. In Gotham City's cobbled square, press photographers clamor to snap Bruce and Chase as they get out of the Bentley.
And tonight, all of Gotham society has turned out for Edward Nygma's gala unveiling of his new improved box.
Alfred lets Dick out.
Thanks, Al.
My pleasure, sir.
They'll be dining and dancing the night away on the glamorous roof of the Ritz Gotham.
A huge Gothic-style skyscraper. In the center of a vast room, dimly lit with orange and blue spotlights, is a fountain. Sugar is with a well-groomed Edward Nygma.
Mr. Nygma, what's it like to have your face on the cover of every magazine in Gotham?
Oh. Edward, how does it feel to be the city's newest, most eligible bachelor? Gotham must know. Oh, there's Bruce Wayne. Brucey!
Oh, Eddie, he is too cute. How come you don't look so good in that suit?
Shut up. You're here to work. How's my mole?
Fine.
Mr. Wayne, what about rumors of a Nygma Tech takeover of Wayne Enterprises?
Nygma Tech stock is outselling Wayne Enterprises 2-1. Are you yesterday's news, Bruce?
Yes. Bruce, old man. The press were just wondering what it feels like to be outsold, outclassed, outquaffed, and...
He smiles.
Generally outdone in every way.
Hello, Edward. Congratulations. Great party. Nice suit.
Wit.
Good.
And you are?
Chase.
She offers her hand.
And what a grand pursuit you must be.
Staring at her, he kisses her hand.
I'm Bruce Wayne, miss.
Oh. You can call me anything you want.
Sugar smiles coquettishly.
Ladies and gentlemen, the future! My new improved box offers fully interactive holographic fantasy.
Nygma points at a big fluorescent green box. A man in a tux enters it. His image appears on a TV screen above the box. Suddenly he transforms. First he's younger, then slimmer and smiling and wearing a Hawaiian shirt. Two babes put garlands around his neck and kiss him. A blonde woman.
Edward, you're dashing and a genius. How do you create these images, hon?
That, my dear, is my little secret.
He clicks his fingers and the blonde appears on a screen. She's suddenly dripping in diamonds with a tiara, necklace, and numerous rings.
Fully interactive holographs. Only a high-frequency carrier wave beamed directly into the brain could create such images.
Yeah, and you wish you thought of it. Yes, don't be a sore loser, Brucey. Step inside, give it a try.
Edward.
Bruce removes his specs.
If you can introduce images into the mind, what prevents you from extracting images out of the mind?
Oh, too timid to try my machine? Just say so.
Bruce sighs. Nigma proffers a hand to Chase.
Shall we dance?
Chase winces and takes his hand. Nigma dramatically spins her round and onto the floor, giving Bruce a challenging look. Nigma wriggles his body as he dances. Bruce heads for the 3D machine control panel, illuminated with green lights. Nigma, in a tango hold, charges across the room, his eyes glued on Bruce. Sugar sidles up.
Naughty, naughty. Looking for something?
Well, I was just wondering how you turn it off.
She pulls out a green fluorescent tube.
Clever.
He studies it.
Thanks.
My pleasure.
Bruce walks away holding the tube and saunters round the edge of the box. Checking around him, he surreptitiously enters the box. Nigma, still dancing the tango, looks across at Sugar, who draws another fluorescent tube out of a fluffy toy dog she's carrying. Sugar inserts the tube in the box control panel, and it lights up. Nigma grins triumphantly and dances ecstatically. Laser beams bore into Bruce's forehead.
Good evening, Mr. Wayne. Relax.
Bruce's image dissolves into whiteness.
Tell me.
Banks of monitors.
Tell me your fantasies.
A brain revolves.
Tell me your secrets. Tell me your deepest, darkest fears.
The image swirls and lights flare. Two-Face and his thugs burst into Enigma's reception. Toting machine guns, they race down the steep, wide steps, scattering people as they go. Two-Face aims two pistols. Nigma looks on in horror as the shots shatter the laser links to Bruce's brain. Bruce comes to and leaves the box, spotting Two-Face with Spice. Two-Face blows his pistols. Bruce makes for the hotel window.
Relax, folks! It's only an old-fashioned low-tech stick-up! We're interested in the basics. Cash, jewelry, cellular telephones. Hand them over nice and quietly, and no one will be hurt.
Using a line, Bruce drops down from the roof to the ground.
Emergency, Alfred.
Yes, sir.
Bruce gets in the back of the car.
Be calm, everybody!
Nigma bounces up and down, giving instructions. Dick runs out of the room. Nigma runs up to Two-Face.
You're ruining my big party! Are you insane?
We're sick of waiting for you to deliver the Batman, dear boy.
Patience, oh bifurcated one.
Pace as hell, we want him dead!
And nothing brings out the Batman like a little murder and mayhem, baby.
Well, the least you could have done is let me in on the caper. We could have organized this, planned it, pre-sold the movie rights.
Batman crashes through the hotel's glass roof. Wings open, he glides down into the bubbling fountain, then somersaults out of it, knocking out two thugs as he lands.
Your entrance was good, his was better.
Batman starts to kick and punch his way through Two-Face's thugs, sending them flying. Two-Face sips two drinks.
The difference? Showmanship.
Batman kicks a guy in the chest, then kicks him again and spins round. Dick goes outside to Alfred.
Emergency, Alfred.
Alfred opens the car boot.
Oh, I could be fired for this, sir.
Dick's trapeze costume.
Perhaps they'll have me back at Buckingham Palace.
Spiral spotlight swirl as Batman fights on. A guy with a blade challenges. Batman drops him with a kick to the face. A thug grabs Chase, but Batman pulls him off.
All right, boys! Phase two!
Two-Face runs up the stairs. Batman kisses Chase.
My place. Midnight.
Batman hesitates, then charges after Two-Face, spinning round and belting thugs as he goes. Batman reaches the bottom of the stairs and looks up at Two-Face, who's in an elevator. The door closes over him. Chase watches admiringly as Batman effortlessly climbs up a reception room wall towards the roof. Two-Face comes out of the Ritz firing a pistol in the air. His thugs follow him down the dozens of steps to the square. They scamper across to some scaffolding and clamber up. Batman looks down from way on high. A sign on red and cream boards reads, "Caution, subway under construction." Two-Face's gang lift away boards to reveal a hole. Two-Face blows a kiss at Batman and gets into the hole. Batman leaps off the Gotham Ritz roof and, cape wings flapping, plummets towards the hole. Thugs hold out a red rubble chute and Batman rockets down it, landing at the bottom of the shaft. Up above, a thug turns a flywheel and pink fluorescent gas gushes out of a tube marked Danger Gas. A string of pink lights hang from the shaft wall around Batman. A thug fires a shot, and it ignites the gas, which explodes into a huge yellow fireball. As it hurtles down the shaft, Batman drops to his knees, wraps his bat cape around him, and programs a handheld computer. He's engulfed by the fireball. Above, Two-Face and his thugs dance around with joy, but the smile on both sides of Two-Face's face fades when he sees Batman surging up out of the flames. Unharmed, Batman stands on a high wooden platform. Two-Face shoots away the platform and the high scaffolding tower on which it was supported. The structure collapses and Batman falls back into the shaft, the debris and rubble cascading in on top of him. Two-Face watches and guffaws as a deluge of sand and gravel pour down on top of Batman. Fearing for his own safety, Two-Face scarpers along with his thugs. The sand continues to fall until Batman is buried under a huge mound. A gloved hand pops out of the rubble. It's clasping another hand, Batman's. Slowly the hand draws Batman out. It's Dick hanging onto a rope, dangling above the mound. When Batman's head appears, Dick, in a black eye mask, beams down at him. Dick pulls Batman to safety.
What the hell did you think you were doing?
You got a real gratitude problem, you know that, Bruce? I need a name. Batboy, Nightwing. I don't know, what do you think? What's a good sidekick name?
How about Dick Grayson, college student?
Screw you. I just saved your life. You owe me.
You are totally out of control. You're gonna get yourself killed.
You're looking at your new partner.
No.
Bruce, whenever you go out tonight, I'll be watching. And wherever Batman goes, I'm gonna be right beside him. I mean, how are you gonna stop me?
Bruce stands.
I can stop you.
Al, hang this next to the bat suit, where it belongs.
Alfred sheepishly takes his trapeze costume and Dick goes.
And you're encouraging him.
Young men with a mind for revenge need little encouragement. They need guidance. You, above all, should know the consequences of the life you choose.
Bruce sits at controls and flicks switches. Chase's face appears on two small monitors on the panel in front of him.
Even Chase calls being Batman a curse.
Perhaps the lady is just what the doctor ordered. She seems lovely and wise.
Never been in love before, Alfred.
Go to her. Tell her how you feel.
She wants Batman, not Bruce Wayne.
Let the lady decide.
Chase, sprawled elegantly beneath a white sheet, is asleep in bed. Moonlight shines in and ripples over her, and a breeze from an open French window rustles the sheet. She stirs and sits up, holding the lace-trimmed sheet up to her chest. Her golden hair falls about her shoulders. Suddenly, Batman appears at the closed French window in her room. Chase, wrapped in her sheet, gently slides out of bed and goes to open the window. They stand, looking at each other intensely. Then Chase kisses Batman hungrily, almost devouring his mouth. After a few moments, she draws back abruptly.
I'm sorry. I can't believe this. I've imagined this moment since I first saw you. Your eyes, your lips.
She caresses his mouth.
I've met someone. He's not you. I hope you can understand.
Batman rolls his eyes and looks to the skies briefly.
I understand.
Chase gives a soft, apologetic smile.
Well.
Batman turns away stoically, then stops with his back to Chase. His mouth widens with a broad smile, and he leaves. Two-Face and Riddler study a newspaper headline, Batman survives subway sabotage. Two-Face howls. Riddler, in a green bodysuit with question marks on it, tosses the paper away.
That's just what I said.
He whips out a tube.
Then I taught my doggy a new trick. How to map the human mind. Would you like to see what our old friend Bruce Wayne has in his head?
He pushes the tube into a statue's ear. Riddler twirls his arms and points at a screen. A caption. Nygmatech file 65631. Wayne, Bruce, a flying bat surges up.
Riddle me this. What kind of a man has bats on the brain? Go ahead. You can say it.
You're a genius.
Oh, stop.
Riddler kicks out a leg camply.
So, from this day on, Batman is no more.
Bruce is shutting down the Batcave.
You can't just quit. I mean, there's monsters out there. Batman has to protect the innocent.
I've dedicated my life to helping strangers I've never met. Faces I've never seen. Well, the innocent aren't faceless anymore.
You can't tell me what I'm gonna do with the rest of my life. Look, my dad told me that every man goes his own way. Well, my way goes to Two-Face. You gotta help me.
And if you do find Harvey, and then you kill him, what next?
They're in darkness.
Exactly. Then you'd be alone, like me.
Bruce turns away to walk up the stone steps.
Now you've got to let this go. Listen to me, Dick, I'm your friend.
I don't need a friend right now, all right? I need a partner. Two-Face's gotta pay.
Bruce ponders.
Please.
Dick stares up at Bruce on the steps.
Chase is coming over for dinner. I'm going to tell her everything.
Bruce lays a hand on Dick's shoulder.
Come on upstairs, we'll talk.
A despondent Dick watches Bruce go. A black Gotham City taxi pulls up at the main door of Wayne Manor. Chase gets out. Alfred opens the huge wooden door.
Good evening, Dr. Meridian.
Good evening, Alfred.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you.
Dick slides back the wardrobe door in the Batcave. In darkness, he slowly makes his way over to the trapeze costume, which is folded up next to the Batman's helmet and suit. Dick unzips his leather biker jacket and stuffs his costume inside it. Dick wheels his motorcycle along the gloomy tunnel that leads out of the Batcave. Bruce and Chase in front of a glowing log.
Well, I asked you here tonight because there's something that I wanted to tell you.
I wanted to tell you something, too.
What I want. Go first.
All right, okay.
Alfred looks through a peephole in the front door.
Trick or treat!
Alfred smiles at the kids.
All my life, I've been attracted to a certain kind of man. The wrong kind of man. And, I mean, look at what I do for a living, right?
She looks at him shyly.
And since I met you, I...
She turns to pick up her glass and knocks over a silver vase with a red rose in it. Bruce has a flashback. The killer fires a gun.
And don't eat too much tonight, or you'll be sick in your beds.
A truck loaded with Two-Face's heavies pulls up outside the wrought iron gates of Wayne Manor. Riddler, in his bowler and toting his gold crook-like cane, lifts his legs high, quickly trots up to the railings and peers through. The trick-or-treat kids in their Halloween garb and carrying pumpkin lanterns are coming up the drive. The gates open. Two-Face and Riddler watch the kids leave, chortle evilly, and hug each other.
Happy Halloween!
They scamper off. A flashback of Bruce as a young boy walking along in darkness, with lightning flashing around him. He hugs a book to his chest. Remembering, Bruce stares into the fire, then gets up.
Bruce, what's wrong?
It's happening again. Flashes, my parents' death.
Your memories are trying to break through. Don't fight them.
I want to tell you something. Something I've never told anyone.
It's all right. It's all right, I'm here.
Chase stands close to Bruce, who imagines himself standing by the fireplace at his parents' wake.
Wake. Priest's words gave no comfort. Of course. There on my father's desk, the red book, his journal. He'd written in it every day of my life. But now he'd never write in it again. At that moment, I knew my life would never be the same.
As a boy, Bruce closes the journal and runs out into torrential rain.
Out into the storm, trying to outrun the rage, pain.
He stumbles.
And then I fell.
Into a cave.
I fell forever.
He lands on stony ground.
Cave was monstrous. It must have been there for centuries.
Tall, craggy rocks surround him.
And there, deep in the shadows, I saw.
He stands staring fearfully.
It was coming toward me. I was scared at first, but only at first.
A massive bat approaches.
The figure in the dark was my destiny. It would change my life forever.
Adult Bruce sheds a tear.
I would use its image to strike terror into the hearts of those who did evil. I would ensure what happened to me would never happen to anyone else again. I would have my revenge.
Chase touches Bruce's face.
Bruce, what are you trying to tell me?
Chase moves forwards and kisses Bruce gently on the lips, then again more passionately. Bruce responds hungrily. Chase moves away and touches her lips. She stares at Bruce, both bewildered and enraptured. She slowly starts to smile. Alfred looks through the peephole in the front door. Outside is Two-Face in a devil mask and Riddler in a goblin mask.
Twick or tweet!
As Alfred opens the door, Riddler knocks him out with his crook.
Trick!
Riddler's removed his mask, revealing his shock of peach-colored hair. Two-Face bounds in with his thugs.
Remember the plan.
Seize and capture.
No killing.
That goes double for you.
On a hallway.
If I was a superhero, where would I hide?
A gizmo on the top of his crook opens a door.
Spank me.
The thugs, wearing biker jackets and their red and black masks, charge into the lounge. Chase and Bruce spring to their feet and run over a couch. The thugs lunge. Bruce punches one. Riddler bounds into the bat cave, where alarm lights are flashing. He points his crook, which has flashing red lights on it, at a bank of controls which light up. The Batmobile rises on its revolving floodlit platform.
Now that's impressive!
He thrusts his crook into the ground. The thugs pursue Chase into a hall. Bruce skids along a table and rescues her. Two-Face flips his coin. It lands with the unscratched head facing up. He sneers.
It's risky introducing a tamed animal into the wild.
Riddler tosses a bulbous green bat toy into the lab area of the Batcave. It explodes, sending lights and equipment flying. Riddler minces about, then holds up another bat bomb.
They may have trouble adapting to their new environment.
He flings it into a hallway. It explodes in a shower of sparks. Bruce and Chase run up some stairs. Chase turns and punches a thug. Two-Face flips his coin. It lands nice face up again. Riddler tosses a couple more bombs into the Batcave, and they explode. He contorts like a baseball pitcher. and chucks a bomb at the wall. He spits and grabs his groin. Bruce and Chase do battle on the staircase. Riddler gets in the Batmobile.
Somebody tell the Bat Lady! She's on in five.
He leaves a bag of twitching bombs on the seat and bounds to the cave wall where he detonates the bombs with his crook. The Batmobile throbs and pulses, its bodywork flails apart as explosions rip through it. Riddler twirls his crook. At the top of the stairs, Bruce and Chase push a suit of armor down on the thugs. Sitting in an armchair in the hall, Two-Face flips his coin. It lands with the scratched face up. He aims his gun up at Bruce. Bruce collapses down the stairs. Thugs grab Chase. Two-Face dances for joy, then aims at Bruce's grazed head, which is resting on the bottom step. Riddler comes in holding a gold box with question marks on it.
Don't
kill him.
If you kill him.
He puts down his box and opens it. Inside is a metronome with Bruce's head on it and a legend. We're five items of an everyday sort.
You won't learn nothing.
Grinning maniacally, Two-Face and Riddler scamper away, followed by their thugs, who are holding Chase. Bruce is left sprawled upside down on his back at the bottom of the stairs. His eyes move slightly under his closed lids. Sometime later, Bruce opens his grey-green eyes. There's a dressing taped to his forehead. He's lying in bed in a grand bedroom. Alfred's standing over him.
Master Bruce. Master Bruce. How are you, young man?
You haven't called me that for a long time.
Old habits die hard. Are you all right?
Where's Chase?
I'm afraid they've taken Dr. Meridian. Master Dick has run away. The cave has been destroyed. And there's another riddle.
Chase is chained up on a couch beneath the giant Nigmatech box, which revolves and glows green. Riddler bounds up wearing a black jacket with flashing green question marks all over it.
I'm coming, my sweet.
He grabs onto a framework and grins.
Like the jacket? It keeps me safe when I'm jogging at night.
Batman will come for me.
Batman? Batman, you say? Coming for you? I'm counting on it!
Commissioner Gordon and a cop look up to see a question mark above the bat sign.
What is that? Where's that coming from?
Who the hell's doing that?
The Riddler.
Bruce looks at the riddles.
We're five little items of an everyday sort. You'll find us all in a tennis court. In. A-E-I-O-U. Vowels.
Not entirely unclever, sir, but what do a clock, a match, chess pawns and vowels have in common? What do these riddles mean?
Every riddle has a number in the question, and they arrived in this order. 13, 1, 8, and 5.
13, 1, 8, and 5. What do they mean?
Perhaps letters of the alphabet?
Of course, 13 is M.
1 would be A, 8 would be H, and 5 would be E.
M-A-H-E.
Perhaps 1 and 8 are 18.
18 is R. M-R-E.
How about Mr. E?
Mystery.
And another name for mystery?
Enigma.
Mr. Enigma. Edward Nigma. Stickley's suicide was obviously a computer-generated forgery.
You really are quite bright, despite what people say.
In the Batcave.
Were all the Batsuits destroyed, Alfred?
All except the prototype with the sonar modifications you invented, but you haven't tested it yet.
Tonight's a good night.
He unveils a black rubber Batsuit and puts it on. Batman and Alfred walk up to a pool where the Batboat is moored. It has enormous fins at the back.
What do you suggest, Alfred? By sea?
or by air.
Lights shine on the Batwing, which looks like a massive black mechanical bird of prey.
Why not both?
Dick struts down in a muscle-hugging outfit with a red breastplate. He wears a mask and cape. Batman looks him up and down.
Who's your tailor?
I took the liberty, sir.
Batman stares at an R on the breastplate.
R? What's that stand for?
Dick glances at Alfred.
Robin.
Alfred smiles.
Riddler and Two-Face can make a pretty lethal combination. I figured you could use a hand.
Two against two are better odds.
I can't promise I won't kill Harvey.
A man's gotta go his own way. A friend taught me that.
Not just a friend.
He holds out his hand.
A partner.
Batman and Robin shake hands. Later, Batman flies the Batwing through a floodlit tunnel. Meanwhile, Robin drives the Batboat, a long, pointed speedboat, out of a tunnel halfway down the side of cliffs beneath Wayne Manor. He lands in the ocean and drives off. Batman flies out of the tunnel and up into the night. The Batwing makes a bat-shaped silhouette against the full moon. Commissioner Gordon and the cop are still standing by the searchlight that projects the bat sign.
He's not coming. Shut it down.
The cop goes to switch it off. Commissioner Gordon looks up. He hears something.
Wait a minute! Wait a minute!
The Batwing surges past. The commissioner throws his arms in the air. Batman gives the thumbs up. Robin cuts through the ocean in the Batboat. Batman flies above. They head towards Nygmatech, which stands glowing in the water like an electronic castle. The giant Nygmatech box on top sends out green rays. Two-Face and Riddler stand either side of a battleships-type gaming table. There's a vertical grid between them.
A-14!
Mines explode around the Batboat.
B-12.
Robin glides past more exploding mines.
Hit! And my favorite vitamin, I might add.
Oh!
Batman soars above Nygmatech.
Oh, that sinking feeling.
I like this game! C9!
A mine goes off under the Batboat. Robin ejects as the boat's blown to bits. Batman looks down to see the flaming wreckage of the Batboat. Underwater, Robin releases himself from his ejector seat. As Robin starts to swim, several thugs approach in diving gear. Batman picks them up on a radar in the Batwing.
This is your captain speaking. Please return to your seats. We will be experiencing turbulence.
Riddler presses a bonus button, and a green ray fires at the Batwing. The Batwing plunges, smoking into the ocean.
I hope they can find the little black box.
As the thugs overpower Robin, Batman pulls a lever that reads, disengage. The wings are jettisoned, and the Batwing becomes a submarine. It closes in on the thugs. Batman fires himself out of the Batwing and whisks Robin away. Batman fires a net, which ensnares the thugs. He pulls a rope on the net, so the thugs are trapped. He attaches the rope to a buoy with a red light on the top. Batman and Robin surface and swim towards Nygmatech. Riddler rubs his hands together. Batman and Robin climb onto a jagged shore.
Holy rusted metal, Batman!
Huh?
The ground, it's all metal! It's full of holes, you know? Holy!
Oh.
Robin climbs across the jagged surface.
Robin, wait!
The whole island's moving!
The central part of the island rises on a wide column with Robin on it. Batman fires a bat hook. The hook bounces off the column. Searchlights shine down from the underside of the rising island. Batman sees a ladder and points to it. Batman runs to a door beside the ladder and turns a question mark shaped handle. Batman goes into a dark chamber with question marks projected on the walls. The door shuts and locks. Batman looks up. He's inside the vast column supporting Nigmatech. Light shines through question mark shaped holes up the side. Outside, Two-Face creeps up on Robin, gun poised.
Looking for us.
Robin kicks Two-Face's gun from his hand.
That was for my mother! My father! My brother! And this is for me!
He headbutts Two-Face onto the jagged ground. Two-Face scrambles around fearfully. Robin stands on the rocks, staring down at Two-Face. Batman climbs up the inside of the column, holding onto the question mark-shaped holes. He looks up to see a framework of knives pointing down at him and moving towards him. Below is a pool full of jagged rocks. On the raised part of the island, Robin stands over Two-Face, who's clinging to the edge.
Finally, justice is served! Let us die!
Two-Face slips. In the column, Batman grabs onto the lowering framework of knives.
You're a man after our own hearts, son. I'll see you in hell.
Robin grabs Two-Face's hand.
I'd rather see you in jail.
Robin helps Two-Face up.
Oh, good boy. Good boy. The bat has taught you very well. No more. Stupid. But noble.
He points another gun at Robin's head. In the column, Batman pushes his feet against the side to try and stop the framework from lowering. He switches on jet boots and is propelled upwards, turning the circular frame so it's horizontal. A chain snaps and a cog drops. Batman grabs onto the chain that is pulled up as the cog and the framework drop down through the column. Batman is propelled up into a dome-roofed chamber with question marks all over the floor. The giant Nigmatech box glows above. Riddler turns round on a throne which has golden sculptures of the Thinker on either side.
Riddle me this, riddle me that. Who's afraid of the big black bat?
No more tricks, Edward.
Very well then.
Riddler picks up his crook and stands.
Let's get real.
Release Chase. This is between you and me.
And me! And me!
Two-Face jumps in.
You've been sucking Gotham's brainwaves, and now you've devised a way to read men's minds.
You betcha! Soon my little box will be on countless TVs around the world, feeding me credit card numbers, bank codes, sexual fantasies and little white lies. Into my head they'll go. Victory is inevitable. For if knowledge is power, then a god am. Was that over the top?
I can never tell.
By the way, I've seen your mind, freak. Yours is the greatest riddle of all. Can Bruce Wayne and Batman ever truly coexist? We'll find out today! But first, let's meet our contestants. Behind curtain number one!
Chase in a glass tube.
The absolutely fabulous Dr. Chase Meridian. She enjoys hiking, getting her nails done, and foolishly hopes to be the love of Bruce's life. And behind curtain number two...
Dangling another glass tube, Robin.
Batman's one and only partner. This acrobat turned orphan likes Saturday morning cartoons and dreams one day being... bare naked with a girl.
these contestants, my personal favorite, a watery grave!
Trap doors open.
Just one little touch. And 5 seconds later, these two day players are golfing on the rocks below.
Sugar smiles.
Not enough time to save them both.
Spice holds her nose and shimmies.
Which one will it be, Batman? Bruce's love, or the Dark Knight's junior partner?
There is no way for me to save them or myself. This is all one giant death trap.
Judges!
I'm sorry, your answer must be in the form of a question, but thank you for playing.
Wait. I have a riddle for you.
For me?
Riddler grins.
Really? Tell me.
Riddler spins his crook and sits down.
I see without seeing. To me, darkness is as clear as daylight. What am I?
Please! You're as blind as a bat!
Exactly.
Batman presses a button, and night vision specks come down over his eyes. He throws a batarang at the green cone at the base of the Nigbatek box, and it explodes in a shower of sparks. Sugar and Spice run off. Sparks dance around the chamber. The giant Nigbatek box explodes in a fireball. Lights dim in the chamber. Riddler's slumped over his throne. Green light flows down onto the top of his head and distorts it. His mouth gapes. He presses a button on the skull-shaped top of his crook. The bottoms of Robin and Chase's tubes drop, and they both fall down into the column. Batman dives after them. He shoots a line with a bat hook on the end, up behind him. It attaches to a piece of framework. Batman fixes the other end to Chase, and she stops falling. Batman continues to drop after Robin, who falls feet first. Batman shoots another hook and grabs onto the rope binding Robin's wrists. The hook wraps around a girder, and the line pulls taut. Batman and Robin stop just short of the framework of spikes that lies at the bottom of the column. Around them. Batman and Robin help Chase onto a girder and untie her. Two-Face appears, pointing a gun at them.
All those heroics for nothing. No more riddles, no more curtains one and two, just plain curtains.
Aren't you forgetting something, Harvey? Your coin. You're always of two minds about everything.
Yes, of course you're right, Bruce. Emotion's always the enemy of true justice. Thank you. You've always been a good friend.
As Two-Face tosses his coin, Batman throws a handful of coins in the air. Two-Face reaches around desperately, then loses his balance and falls from the girder. Robin stares down wide-eyed, breathing heavily at Two-Face, who falls to his death. As Two-Face's gloved left hand sinks beneath the water, a coin lands in it. The shiny, unscratched surface glints. Robin breathes a sigh. Batman goes up to find a drawn, withered, and dirty Riddler lying at the foot of his throne. Lights flash all around.
Why? Why can't I kill you? Too many questions.
Edward, I had to save them both. You see, I'm both Bruce Wayne and Batman. Not because I have to be. Now, because I choose to be.
Steely-eyed, Batman leans towards Riddler. Riddler sees the bat. A storm rages around the nightmarish Gothic Arkham Asylum. Chase walks along a corridor with a wild-haired man in a white coat.
Thank you for responding to my request for a consultation, Dr. Meridian. Edward Nigma has been screaming for hours that he knows the true identity of that man.
Chase looks at him measuredly, then steps over to a barred hatch. She looks into a dimly lit grey-walled cell. Edward Nigma is nowhere to be seen.
Edward?
Is it?
It's Dr. Meridian, Chase. Do you remember me?
How can I forget?
Dr. Burton tells me you know who Batman is.
I can't tell you if you don't say please.
Edward, please. Who is Batman?
I'm Batman!
Wearing an undone striped straitjacket and a bandage round his head, he leaps up and flaps his arms. Later, Chase emerges from a side gate between a grand set of iron gates and a gnarled old tree. Bruce Wayne and Alfred are waiting by the Bentley. Chase walks up to Bruce.
Your secret is safe. He is definitely a wacko.
Wacko? Is that a technical term? Listen.
He's holding the Malaysian Dream Warden doll.
I won't be needing this anymore.
He gives it to her.
Thank you for giving me a new dream.
Chase looks into Bruce's eyes, then leans forwards and kisses him. Standing by the car, Alfred smiles. Chase grins.
Don't work too late.
Smiling, Chase walks off. Bruce watches contentedly. Bright white light shines out from behind the bat symbol. Silhouetted Batman and Robin run in front of the light, their capes flowing, until the light is blacked out. ITFC audio description by Matthew Vickers.